knowledge in places where matches are prohibited. They, too, had taken a train to one town and had wakened hundreds of miles in the opposite direction, never knowing how they got there. The same old routines seemed to be common to us all. During that first weekend, I decided to stay in New York and take all they gave out with, except the God stuff. I knew they needed to straighten out their thinking and habits, but I was all right. I just drank too much. Just give me a good front and a couple of bucks, and I'd be right back in the big time. I'd been dry 3 weeks, had the wrinkles out, and had sobered up my sponsor all by myself. Bill and Hank had just taken over a small automobile polish company, and they offered me a job, $10 a week, and keep at Hank's house. We were all set to put DuPont out of business. At that time, the group in New York was composed of about 12 men who were working on the principle of every drunk for himself. We had no real formula and no name. We would follow one man's ideas for a while, decide he was wrong, and switch to another's method. But we were staying sober as long as we kept and talked together. There was one meeting a week at Bill's home in Brooklyn, and we all took turns there spouting off about how we had changed our lives overnight, how many drunks we had saved and straightened out, and last but not least, how God had touched each of us personally on the shoulder. Boy, what a circle of confused idealists. Yet we all had one really sincere purpose in our hearts, and that was not to drink. At our weekly meeting, I was a menace to serenity those first few months, for I took